Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I hope you had yourself a great Thanksgiving. Well, the Spurs are about to hit the road for a quick four-game roadie, but the Spurs having their road woes to start the season, will this be a true test for San Antonio? And also, we're going to discuss what happened in the last home game versus Memphis and how it ended on a controversial non-call on Grizzlies' Marc Gasol. So to help me to do that and much more, I am once again joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Jim, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs and happy holidays.
Back to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Have your feet propped up, belt loosened up a bit, you know, letting it all kind of just sit there for a little bit after the amount of food you had?
I'm actually working today, but yesterday was fun. My goal on Thanksgiving is always to stop one bite short of nausea. So I did that. I got almost to that point, but did manage to push that last piece of pecan pie away, and I did not get nauseous.
Well, speaking of nauseous, that last home game for San Antonio versus the Grizzlies, wow, well, what an ending. Great ending for the Memphis fan base, but not for the San Antonio fan base. Jim, just for those of Spurs fans and listeners who did not know what happened in the Grizzlies game, what happened?
Well, the Spurs got two bad calls in the final 2 seconds of the game, either one of which had gone their way, they would have won. But because both of them involved Marc Gasol, who apparently is the darling of referees near and far, a valiant effort by the Spurs was wasted. And it's unfortunate because what I've always loved about the NBA over the years is the officiating tends to equal out. If you get a questionable call at one end, they tend to make it right at the other end. And this is one instance that the home team did not have that happen. For fans that saw the end of the game, there was a questionable foul on Rudy Gay that sent Marc Gasol to the line to shoot what turned out to be the two winning free throws. But a second later, LaMarcus Aldridge gets fouled by Marc Gasol again, shooting a three, the most obvious foul of the night, and the referees swallowed their whistle.
Yeah.
So it was really unusual to see both calls go against the home team when it looked like certainly the benefit of the doubt could have gone their way on either call. But on that last call, it was a no-brainer. Gasol hacked Aldridge, and he would have had three free throws, only would have needed to hit one to force overtime and two to win the game. So in my opinion, the referees took that victory away from the Spurs.
Yeah, you look at that final play, and it was an obvious hit. It was so obvious that Marc Gasol even looked at the ref, kept his hands raised up, almost admitting, yeah, I got him, and they still swallowed the whistle, Jim.
Well, and what I don't understand from Gasol's point of view, he had just been the beneficiary of a call. You figure they're going to be watching him closely. Aldridge was struggling again from the field. It was going to be a tough three-point shot. All you need to do is be in the neighborhood there.
Yeah.
And if Aldridge hits that fading away three-pointer to beat you, you know, you live with it. But I thought it was a bonehead play by Marc Gasol to even be up in Aldridge's grill. So, and certainly to be close enough to touch, you know, why is he even trying to block that shot? But he said he might have gotten some of the ball, but he got a lot of LaMarcus's arm. And again, that's a no-brainer. That's a foul, every which way to Tuesday. And it was good to see the NBA the next day admit that the refs blew the call. But I don't know what, you know, consolation that is because,
yeah,
you know, you're judged by wins and losses. And them admitting they blew a game-deciding call doesn't give the Spurs the victory.
Yeah, in that last two-minute report the NBA released yesterday, as Jim mentioned, it did acknowledge that it was an incorrect non-call on Marc Gasol. In other words, LaMarcus Aldridge got fouled. He should have been at the free throw line. But in that same report, though, Jim, the call on Rudy Gay's foul on Marc Gasol, they said that was a correct call.
Yeah, they said that there was some contact, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think that same report said that another Spurs player was held during that exchange while they were inbounding, and it was Kyle Anderson involved in the pass, I believe. He made a nice pass to find Gasol kind of on the baseline, but one of the Spurs players was held on that play as well that was undetected. So it's hard for the refs to see every call that's made, but I go back to the point I made earlier. It needed to be rectified with that second call,
yeah,
and it wasn't.
Did.
And, you could argue the merits of that Rudy Gay foul. He was in the neighborhood. He's trying to play good defense on Marc Gasol, and, you know, again, depending on whose colors you're wearing, you're going to see it differently. That's the beauty of sports. But I don't think even the most diehard Memphis fan would have had to see that foul that the Gasol committed on Aldridge. So that was hard to stomach.
Jim, I'm sure you did. I know I did. Following the last two-minute report when it was released, a lot of fans contacted me on social media asking one simple question: why bother? Why does the NBA do this? What's the point of this? It's pointless. Are they going to let us replay the last seconds of the game? Jim, why does the NBA do this? I mean, what is their goal behind something they cannot even fix if they're admitting fault?
I think they would say that it's transparency, that it's the fact that their referees do get evaluated, that everything is looked at, and that they agree with Spurs fans that the major call was missed. Again, it doesn't make anybody feel any better because there's no consequences. You know, you don't get the victory. You don't get to replay it. It's not something that you can protest like an official, protest would incur. It's just how they do their business. And again, it might leave a bad taste in the fans of, in the mouth of fans that don't agree with the call, but at least the NCAA or the NBA is on record saying we missed that one. We made a mistake and, live with it and move on and hope that the referee that was involved learns from that mistake and gets better the next time he's in a similar situation.
And it's bad enough the way it ended in a controversial non-call, a chance for San Antonio to win the game had the call been made. But what compounds it is San Antonio's been having an up-and-down season, more downs than up. They're now riding a two-game losing streak. They're heading into the Memphis game, a little bit flat and defeated. They're below 500, and I think that's what's just adding to a very ugly start, if I may say that, to the Spurs season. Then you throw on top of a missed call. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. And this Spurs team needs to get every little win they can pick up along the way, Jim.
Well, it's frustrating for a variety of reasons. Usually at home, you tend to think you're going to get that kind of call. And now they're going on the road where maybe they won't get those, 50-50 calls. So that's unfortunate. And I think the fact that the referees decided the game, fans don't pay good money and we don't spend our time watching on TV to watch referees dictate the outcome of a game. And in this instance, they totally decided it by those two last calls. So, all but forgotten was, the great shot was DeRozan, right? That hit the mm-hmm. what seemed to be the game winner with, a couple seconds left. That's the way you want to see a game decided, not by ticky-tack fouls or non-calls or something else. And the NBA is so popular because that's what usually happens. The referees, more often than not, are accused of, letting them play through come hell or high water. And in this instance, the ticky-tack foul that they called on Gay and then the non-call at the end, the referees decided the outcome of that game. And that's not why anybody, pays good money to support a team.
And the Spurs picked up the loss in front of Tim Duncan. Oh, my God. I mean, why? It was a good mood. TD's in the house. His wife and his kid is there. And then the way it ended, it was just not a good ending to that Memphis game, especially this, Jim, because they've been fairly okay at home. They got above 500 record. That's kind of what's been, I guess, keeping them afloat a little bit this season. And they go into a situation where they have themselves a tall task at hand, and that being a four-game road trip. And that's what Jim and I are going to talk about shortly. What is it going to take for the Spurs to survive this quick four-game roadie, and who is on the slate? So we're going to be right back after this break. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Jim, what a way to start a four-game roadie. The Spurs will kick off their road trip versus the Pacers later tonight, and then they got the Bucks. Goodness. Then they top it off visiting Chicago and Minnesota. Your overall thoughts, what are you thinking heading into this four-game road trip?
Well, as nice as it would have been to have a victory in their back pocket to give them a little momentum, maybe the positive is that this is going to alienate, or cause such a strong reaction that it'll motivate them to play even harder. You never know what's going to motivate a team, and I think the fact that they feel like they were hosed, maybe that brings the team together a little bit and gives them extra motivation against a solid Indiana team. But I think Victor Oladipo's status was questionable, and he's a star player, and the Spurs know what Indiana can do. They've already seen him once this year. It didn't go so well. So I think maybe they'll be a little pissed off, a little irked at what happened on Wednesday, and use that as motivation to fuel the start of this trip. Because I think sometimes when you play good teams, the inclination is to say, well, you're not going to beat this team. You're not going to beat that team. Milwaukee's so good at home, Pacers, et cetera. I look at it the other way. When you're playing a really good team, you got to bring your A game. And if the Spurs bring their A game tonight, there's no reason they can't beat Indiana. I don't predict that they're going to go 4-0 on this trip, But there's no reason they can't go 2-2. And if you're going to go 2-2, you start with that first one. So I think there's a good chance that the Spurs come out loaded for bear tonight and motivated and give Indiana everything that they can handle.
Yeah, when I look at this road trip, I scratch my head. Not necessarily because of I'm confused or the sense of, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. It's more like I don't know what Spurs team I'm going to get because – they go out and beat the Warriors. Yes, maybe they're a little deflated, you know, with the whole infighting between Green and Durant. But that still had Durant and Klay Thompson on the court. You know, that's still a potent 1-2 punch. San Antonio beat them. Then they get walloped versus New Orleans, and I'm talking smacked up in the face. You know, and then they come out and, you know, they get a tough gut-punching loss versus Memphis. So on one hand, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I can see them giving Indiana some good run and picking up a win. Wouldn't be surprised if the final score versus the Bucks is the Spurs getting the W, but that's why I look at this four-game road trip. I just don't know what Spurs team I'm going to get, Jim.
Well, and here's another way to put it in perspective. It's a little early to be scoreboard watching, but have you looked to see who the number one team in the West is right now?
Yeah, Memphis.
That would be the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Spurs are one bad call away from beating them. So, yeah, it's a road game versus a home game, but, you know, it's early enough in the season where teams are still sorting themselves out. And, again, if the Spurs bring their A game, if Aldridge can shake that nasty shooting slump that he's been in for, it seems like, a month, if DeRozan keeps playing steady, the bench, you know, contributes what it does, I think they're fine. You know, it's a long season. I know fans want to panic, and they're under 500 now, which, you know, starts their streak of days under 500 going again. I think they're up to 49 now in the last 20 years, which is still the most amazing statistic in sports history to me, that the Spurs have only been under 500 for 49 days in two decades. But be that as it may, I think that they are in position. Their health is relatively solid right now. It'd be nice to get Pau Gasol back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's missed more games, I think.
He was being criticized.
Remember when he was playing for you know, not contributing, and now that he's not here, everybody
misses him.
Suddenly,
exactly.
His passing ability and everything else. So I don't know if they'll get him back on this trip, but he'll be back, you know, I would think sooner rather than later. And, again, I think all the pieces are here. They need some good luck. They need to get some momentum. But I'm not ready to give up on this team yet.
Yeah, you know, this is the healthiest they're going to get right now. Obviously, you know, Murray, his situation, Lonnie Walker, at least according to Lonnie on his social media account, he's saying his return is impending. It's right around the corner. But I don't think a 19-year-old rookie is going to help San Antonio this season as much as many fans think. But as far as the road is concerned, let's go ahead and dive into some numbers, Jim. Overall, San Antonio is 2-6 on the road this season. And get this, Jim, they have not won a road game this month of November at 0-5. Wow, Jim.
Yeah, that's not a good number. And you could take it back to last season when they didn't win what the final 2 months of the season on the road. So this is not a new problem. It's unusual for the Spurs to struggle. Traditionally, they're one of the best road teams in the NBA. So this is kind of unique. But the point is, you got a lot of opportunities here. And I'd be shocked if they don't win at least one game on this trip. You know, Chicago looks to be the easiest opponent. But again, don't count them out for Indiana. I think the back-to-back is going to hurt them in Milwaukee on Saturday. You know, we'll see if Rudy Gay plays the second of that back-to-back. So I'm thinking that they're going to load up for tonight and see what they can do, and then maybe they catch a break if Oladipo doesn't play in Indiana. But all these games are winnable. You know, there's not a team out there that I think the Spurs are intimidated by. If they start moving the ball, they keep the turnovers down and play a modicum of defense, you know, like they did against Memphis, they should be right in every one of these games. So I'm not ready to write this road trip off you know, in negative fashion before it begins. I think there's opportunities here. And as you've noted before, this is when teams come together. You know, this is when they bond. It's when you're on the road in the middle of nowhere on a snowy night in Milwaukee and you go out for dinner with your buddies.
Yeah.
You know, form those relationships that then will lead to better defense on the court because, hey, I've got that guy's back. We're communicating. You know, we broke bread last night. What can I do to help my buddy out? So I think a road trip's a great opportunity, especially for a team with so many new parts, to form some more alliances and come together as a unit.
By the time this show is out, Jim, I would have had a write-up about DeMar DeRozan and his thoughts on the upcoming four-game road trip. He's actually looking forward to it, Jim. I know you took a peek at it for me before it got published. You know, he's throwing out words such as the good test, you know, an opportunity. In a nutshell, he's relishing this, and And I think that's where the team needs to have that mindset right now. Just embrace it. Don't look back. Yes, you haven't won a game this November. Yes, you're way below 500 on the road overall. But just take that same approach DeRozan has taken as far as looking at this four-game roadie.
Yeah, I think the greatest thing you can do in sports is silence an enemy crowd. And you do that on the road. And, you know, we saw the way Memphis, you know, celebrated after they beat the Spurs the other night. It's a great feeling to shut 20,000 people up by something you did on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Spurs haven't got to experience that feeling much this season.
Maybe they can ask Marcus All.
There you go. But it's one of those great moments that everybody's rooting against you. You know, there'll be a few Spurs fans in Bankers Life Fieldhouse tonight, but it's going to be 98%, you know, people rooting for the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do something to silence that crowd, that's why you play sports. You know that half your games are going to be away from home. You have to understand what it takes to, you know, have that mentality that it's us against the world, and then elevate your game to its highest point to take advantage of that kind of negative reinforcement. And again, I go back to the fact that there's nothing better than silencing, you know, 18,000-20,000 people by your exploits. And they've got four opportunities to do that in the next week. I fully expect them to take advantage of that.
Yeah, if they're going to do that, they're definitely going to have to put the hammer down defensively. If you look at their struggles in just this month alone, going 0-5, this is what the opposing teams are doing. Shooting 51% from the field, shooting 41% from the three-point line. They're averaging 115 points per game, and in five losses on the road this November, the Spurs are a minus 10.7, Jim. Not good.
Yeah, the numbers aren't good for them. But again, if you're looking for optimism, looking for positives, you know, there are things you can point to. And the fact that Davis Bertans has gotten that concussion protocol or whatever his injury was behind him and is back contributing, I still like his outside game. I still think I like what he brings to the table. You know, Derek White at some point is going to find his game. You know, he's been off kilter for, you know, since came back from his injury. And at some point he's going to provide what the Spurs expected him to. Right now he's not doing that, and he's not getting extended minutes because he's still playing his way back into shape and playing with confidence. But these are two guys off the bench that I think really can contribute. You got guys like Cunningham that are, you know, to me a nice surprise. Pirtle. They've got guys on the bench that are capable of contributing more and more consistently. So I think this is the time that a young team, a team with a bunch of new faces, has to kind of get some consistency from guys like that are part of the rotation. And if they aren't going to contribute in substantive ways, well, you know, that's what the, you know, trades and other moves are made mm-hmm. for to shore up what they have. But I think they still like their team. I think it's a good group of guys. I think you have to have confidence in Popovich and what he's done in the past when some adversity is struck. And who else would you rather have, you know, overseeing this ship right now than a guy like Popovich, who's you know, pretty smart guy. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt of what he's going to be able to do with these players. And the road's a great opportunity to kind of come together as a team.
I don't know when is it not okay to no longer say the season's still young, you know, but Popovich did allude to that after the loss to Memphis, saying, and I'm just paraphrasing here, you know, the new group of guys, you know, they're still trying to find their way. You know, he's still looking at that as a reason why the team is struggling right now. And speaking of struggling, you know, you look at some of the other road numbers individually, and this is just a quick sample. This is not representative of all the team, but Marcus Aldridge is on the road through eight games. The minus 5.5 for the team. DeMar DeRozan, minus 1.5. And a guy like Bryn Forbes, he's minus 6.6. Yeah, apparently this road, you know, away from the AT&T Center really gets into their mind. I don't know if it's just something that they can't rally from. You know, they play really good at home, but if we talked about the numbers and the records, you know, they play, you know, ugly away. What are you thinking? You've been covering sports for a long time, and, you know, whether it be NFL or NBA, is there something about a road game that teams, you know, just can't rally for? I mean, what is it? Is it something just mental? Or is it something as simple as Popovich saying, this team is still brand new, they're figuring their way out?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind when you pose that question is number 20, Manu Ginobili.
Yeah.
I think this is where they miss him the most. You know, to have a calming veteran influence who can show the young guys that the end of the world is not near. You know, 8-9 is not reason to panic. You know, the other thing that I think should be kept in mind is if that call had gone the Spurs' way, they'd be 9-8. And I think everybody would think everything was right with the world.
Yeah.
So it's just funny that one call and that one loss put them under 500. Now a lot of folks want to panic. And I think a calming influence like a Ginobili would show the younger players that there's no reason to panic. You know, you still have – I agree maybe that the season's not totally young when you played 17 games, but they got 82 on the schedule. And you're only one game under 500, and probably five games over 500 is going to get you a playoff spot. So the schedule is tough right now, but it always evens out. They come home for a couple games at home against tough opponents after that four-game swing. So, you know, it's nice to look at it in nice, tidy four-game packages, but I think it's the way they're playing. And I've seen some indications that they're playing pretty well. I thought the Memphis game was a pretty good game for the Spurs. You know, they got down, they came back. You know, while Aldridge is struggling, he's setting the tone defensively. He's rebounding. I love what I see out of Rudy Gay. There's just a lot of things to be positive about. You know, Forbes' shot was a little inconsistent, but if he's going to be the kind of guy that can give him five or six three-point, you know, makes every game, that's another dimension to their attack. So there's pieces. There's things there that they can build on. I think their spirits are still high. You haven't seen even the body language is still positive. You mentioned DeRozan saying the things he did about the great opportunity that lies ahead. So I still think there's a positive atmosphere there, but man, wouldn't we feel better if Monty was in that locker room?
Oh my goodness,
you know,
yeah.
Still there, even if he wasn't contributing a lot on the court, but just to give that steady veteran, you know, calming influence. And I just think they miss him right now.
Well, maybe that's where a guy like Pau Gasol comes in. That's just my thought. You know, he's not, you know, hasn't been on the bench. You know, he's dealing with that foot injury. You know, maybe that could be something as simple as that. You know, he's an NBA vet. He's won titles. He's been with the Spurs for a few seasons. You know, and he is an older player, and younger players like Derek White or Brent Forbes couldn't tap into his knowledge and his calming force. But then again, yes, I get it. There's never going to be another Manu Ginobili. And, you know, the Spurs, as you mentioned, maybe are missing him tremendously right now. All right, Jim, we're going to take our final break. When we get back, I have a question for you, and then we're going to talk about our prediction and how do we think this four-game road trip will end for San Antonio. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Jim Lefko of News Force San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Lefko. And right before the break, Jim, you mentioned, you know, that's why there's deals and trades to be made, you know, if the Spurs want to look at that path. But there's one path that you say they should not look at, and that's going after Carmelo Anthony. You wrote an article about that, which is on the Spurs Zone. So everybody listening in, make sure to go to the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio on Fox 29, sanantonio.com, and search for it. It's right there. Jim has an excellent article about why the Spurs should not even consider looking at Carmelo Anthony, why he will not fit in the Spurs system. By the way, Jim, that was a nice article you wrote up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I was a little surprised that it was as controversial, I guess, as it turned out to be from some people. Because
and
for
I warned
me, it's
you,
a no-brainer.
Remember, yeah, I warned you.
I just was astounded because I followed Anthony since the Syracuse season when he led him to the national championship. And marvelous college player. You know, to me, he was always a bit selfish. You know, he was where offenses went to die when that ball went down to him in a low block. But if he could score 25 a game and, you know, shoot close to 50%, you know, maybe he was worth it earlier in his career. At this stage of his career, and as we've seen, once the Rockets kind of washed their hands of him, we haven't seen NBA teams line up to, you know, vie for his services. And my point was only that I don't think his game fits with what the Spurs do. I don't think he's the kind of player that would help this team. I think his, you know, inability to defend would only make a suspect defensive team even worse. And I don't think he helps the offense when you already have guys like DeRozan and Aldridge who are mid-range jump shooters. In this day and age, you know, the NBA is all about threes and dunks. And here you bring in another guy who needs the ball about 14, 15 feet from the basket and who's been shooting a lot more threes lately but not necessarily hitting them. So I just don't see him as a good fit here. Could be wrong. Maybe they bring him in and he turns everything around for him. But I just don't see him as a Spurs kind of player. And others might disagree, but I just thought that for all the issues they have, bringing in Carmelo Anthony does not address most of them.
Please go read it. It's at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox 29, sanantonio.com. All right, Jim, again, before the break, I said I have a question for you. And maybe this is a very premature question, but worst case scenario, Spurs go 0-4 in this road trip, or maybe even 1-3. Can we look at this four-game road trip as a make-or-break already for the season? Is it too early to say that?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I don't think so. If they're healthy, I think they're going to continue to play over 500 ball at home. And depending on how poorly they do on the road, that's going to be what, you know, decides their playoff fate. But again, it's November. Half the free world doesn't pay attention to the NBA until after Christmas.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't get too excited or down. I mean, I don't think anybody expects Memphis to win the West. And yet there they are right now, you know, sitting here the day after Thanksgiving, and Memphis is in first place. So, you know, you are what your record says you are. Well, we've mentioned that a few hundred times, but
yeah,
they're one game under 500. And it doesn't mean that the season's going to be a bust. It doesn't mean it's going to be a success. It means through this many games, they've lost one more than they've won. And I don't put any more stock in it than that. I think if you talk to Popovich, honestly, he'd say he was happy with the effort that they put forth against Memphis. And if they bring that kind of effort to the table for these next four games, I don't think they come home with an 0-4 record on that trip.
Yeah, you know, one other thing about that Memphis game, after Memphis got the W, I don't know if you saw this, and I'm pretty sure you did, but did you see the Memphis social media account on their Twitter? They were kind of rubbing it in to the Spurs. The Memphis official Twitter put out some sort of photo of them celebrating, you know, the little graphic of guys jumping up and down with the Memphis Grizzly Bear logo on their faces. And in the caption, they wrote, you know, first place in the West. And they go like something to the words of thanks again, Spurs, or see you next time, Spurs. It's like, oh, my God, they went there, Jim. They went there.
Good for them. You know, yeah. I think you're allowed to celebrate the way you want to celebrate. I don't think anybody inside the Spurs organization is going to be too offended by that.
Yeah.
You know, they are in first place. Nobody expected them to be there. They've got a good team. They've got veteran players. I watched Mike Conley play in high school. I really like that kid. And good for them. You know, they're off to a good start. They're seven games over 500. Now, the question for me would be, let's see if they can sustain it. And maybe they're celebrating a little prematurely, but this might be the high water park of the season, high water mark for them for the season. So good for them. Let them enjoy it. It did come at the Spurs' expense. But, hey, you know, road wins are tough for anybody. And as good as Memphis has been playing, their road record is 5-4. So, you know, that's great. They're one game over 500 on the road, which constitutes a good road record in the West because it's a tough conference to play in. So, good for them. You know, they've won, what, five in a row now. So they're hot. They've taken advantage of the fact the Warriors have stumbled. You know, I don't think anybody expected Golden State to be 12-7.
No.
So, and again, if you look at those standings, Memphis, Portland, the Clippers, 1-2-3. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's been a crazy and wild start and unexpected start to the season, especially in the West. You know, who would have, like you mentioned, Jim, would have thought Memphis being number one, and you know, the Warriors kind of having themselves some internal struggles right now, and it's affecting them on the court. You know, Steph Curry's out. Yeah, so it's been a wild start to the season, especially in the West. All right, Jim, let's go ahead and put a wrap on this episode. How do you think? What are you feeling? 4-0, 0-4, 1-3, 2-2. How do you think the Spurs will fare in this four-game roadie?
I'm going 2-2. I think they win tonight, lose in the second half of the back-to-back at Milwaukee, beat Chicago, and lose to Minnesota, the T-Wolves. So I'm going to go with a 2-2 road trip.
Huh. I'm going 1-3. I think, you know, depending if Victor Oladipo plays or not, but if he does play, you know, he just presents a challenge to San Antonio, especially from the perimeter defense. You know, Sabonis as well, he's playing great this season. And, you know, they're coming off that gut-wrenching loss in first game on the road. The road has not been kind to them. I definitely see them losing to the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, that's a very, very heavy team to deal with. I see them getting the Bulls win and then just finishing out against a Timberwolves team that's rejuvenated after losing Jimmy Butler. Karl-Anthony Towns has been playing great since the deal. So has Wiggins. So I think the Spurs are going to go below 500 at 1-3. And this is the part where Spurs fans are going to jump on my Twitter right now and call me out. So I better get ready for that, Jim.
Well, you got to be honest. And I just hopefully they'll appreciate your honesty. I don't think too many people are going to jump on you. We all know the road record. And, you know, you're probably not that far off. So, you know, let's hope they at least come back with one W. And if they get two, maybe that's a bonus.
Yeah, that is a bonus there. Yeah, there's just so much to talk to in the Spurs easy early season. You know, it's still going. Hopefully it gets better. And I do agree with you, Jim. I think they will get out of whatever ails them right now, and they'll be right in the thick of things towards the end of the season. But Jim and I are done talking. We want to hear what you think about this Spurs season. What do you think about the controversial call or non-call versus the Spurs against Minnesota, and of course the four-game roadie. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. Jim, take it away.
You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Jim Lefko. Always happy to interact with Spurs fans that have something interesting to say about their favorite team.
Hey, you know, speaking of being happy, did you see Kyle Anderson? He recently was gave thanks to San Antonio for his time with the Spurs. He was the only one player that did not do that after his time in San Antonio. Of course, Kawhi Leonard did it with the infamous thank you letter. Danny right. Green did it. And Kyle Anderson didn't, but this is the first time he did it. So he was very appreciative of his time. He even mentioned ushers that he missed. But it's good to see him doing okay in Memphis, Jim.
Yeah, I liked him. I think he's found a good fit. And I think him and Pop exchanged a nice hug. And there's no ill feeling there. Good for Kyle. He benefited from his time here, and he's a better man because of it. And I'm glad he was able to, you know, express his appreciation publicly to Spurs Nation. He was a great addition to the Spurs for the years he was here.
Yep, definitely. He was great. And you can see what he had to say at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox 29, SanAntonio.com. So for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.